Welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, a Primitive Baptist ministry declaring the good news of the finished work of salvation by grace alone. This program is brought to you weekly by Elder Joe Nettles, pastor of Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church in Caledonia, Mississippi, and Elder David Wise, pastor of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church in Ackerman, Mississippi. Stay tuned for today's message.
Good morning and welcome to the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast. We're very thankful to have you tuned in with us here on the program. And on behalf of Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, where I pastor at, as well as Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church outside Caledonia, Mississippi, we're very thankful to have you tuned in. We invite you to come see us on Sunday mornings, 10:30 a.m. in Ackerman and in Caledonia. Come and see us on Wednesday night as well in Starkville, Mississippi. We have a worship service every Wednesday night. And we would love to have you come out and fellowship with us and meet you and visit with you. If you listen, we'd love to hear from you. Please email us and visit our website, gospel-of-grace.com, as well as macedonia-pbc.org. This morning, we would like to continue our consideration together of the Christian's responsibility to government. So we hope that you would stay tuned with us here today and hope this message is instructive and informative for you, for us to consider God's establishment of government, the purpose of government, and how we interact with the structure of government as Christians attempting to serve the Lord in humility and live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Hope that you'll stay with us here today. We'll bring this message for you right after the song.
All of us.
again, and we are thankful for your tuning in and staying with us here on the program today on the Gospel of Grace. And during my time on the program, we've been trying to meditate together from the scriptures on the Christian's responsibility to government and the proper perspective of government according to the scriptures, not according to what we see necessarily in the world around us. But what was God's structure? What was God's purpose in government? And as with anything, we take something that's good and wholesome and right, and man messes it up. And that's what we've seen certainly in the execution of government in not just our time, but all throughout history. That's what man does. We take something that's good and wholesome from the Lord and we mess it up. So that's the reality of the situation, but we want to make sure that we understand God's purpose in government, which is to punish the evildoers and to praise those that do well, to protect us from the unchecked depravity of man, and to protect us from anarchy. Well, I tell you, it would just be horrible if we lived in a world where every man did what was right in their own eyes, and in the days of Noah, where the thoughts and the intents of man's heart was only evil continually, and if there wasn't government to protect us from that, oh man, it's just horrible. Horrible, horrible to think about. God has established the institutional authority and structure of government to protect us from the unchecked depravity of the wickedness of this world. Okay, so we tried to establish for you that we do have a responsibility to submit to every ordinance of man outside of the most extreme circumstances, to obey God rather than man. So therefore, since we are required to submit to the ordinance of man, and we do have the right to exercise the fullness of our legal rights, but at the end of the day, we submit to God's authority and the ordinances of both in the Bible times, the king, the governor, and the magistrate, or the federal, state, and the local level. It's our responsibility to do that, but what do we do if those things, we've exercised our legal rights, but those things aren't in accordance with the Word of God? Well, what's our obligation? What's our responsibility? Now, we still need to conduct ourselves in a way that's honoring to the office that God's ordained. Even if we don't have a lot of respect for the individual person that happens to be occupying that office at this time, we have a responsibility to honor the office of leadership that God has ordained. So we conduct ourselves in a way that's honorable, that's respectful, but what do we do when we see things that are not in accordance with the Word of God? Well, what do we do? Well, it is vitally important that your prayers for your government leadership and the structure and the institution of government, that your prayers for that government is a perpetual petition that is at the forefront of your mind. So what do? The answer is we pray, right? We pray because as we've laid the foundation to begin this discussion, who is in control ultimately of government? God's in control of government. The king's heart, and in that day, again, the king was the totality of the government institution and authority. So not just the man, but the office of government authority is in the hand of the Lord, and he can turn government however he sees fit. And I may have very limited ability with me signing a legal petition, getting 100 people or even thousands of people to sign a petition and bring it to my legislators and all this stuff. I may be limited in my ability to enact change, but I'll tell you who is not limited in his ability. The king's heart is in whose hand? The Lord's hand, right? Who is it that sets up leaders in governmental offices? God does. God's the one who sets them up, and God's the one who removes them. And the whole time they're in that position, their heart is in his hand to turn it whithersoever he will. Now, what's the determining factor in if God sees fit to turn their heart or not? Now, he might just see fit to do it according to his will, but I'll tell you, the prayers of his people, the prayers of God's people is a significant factor in the way in which and the timing in which God will turn the heart of the king or the heart of governmental leaders according to his will. So how can we enact change? I'll tell you, that's what a lot of people want. They want change in government. There's some things I'd like changed about government. Now, hey, I have some legal recourses that are available to me, but what do I really need to be doing? I need to be fervently, diligently, humbly praying for God to fill the institutions of government up with God-fearing men, to fill the institution of government up with the Holy Spirit. Prayer is so vitally important. And I'll tell you, if you have a prayer list, if you have a daily prayer list, you need to make sure that your prayers for your governmental leaders are at the forefront of those prayers. Not just at the federal level, we need to pray for the our president. We need to pray for our vice president. We need to pray for our Supreme Court, those in Congress, those in the House. We need to pray for our state governors. We need to pray for our state senators and state House members. We need to pray for your, especially pray for your local government. Your local government has some of the most impactful decisions on your daily life, maybe even more so than the federal government. You need to be praying. And if you really want to get involved, I can't make a tremendous difference at the federal level, but I can make a big difference at my local government level, right? Because I could have the cell phone number of my supervisor or my alderman. You see, the local level, you can make a tremendous difference by being involved, but also in praying. Don't just pray for the president. Pray for people at every level of government. Pray for those at the federal level. Pray for those at the state level. Pray for those especially at the local level. And you can have a tremendous amount of impact at the local level of government. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Begin reading in verse 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now is a good time for us to highlight the fact that the Apostle Paul did not waste, and the Holy Spirit, who obviously inspired the New Testament, did not waste any ink talking about political matters. I'm sure there are a lot of people that weren't happy with taxes in Rome. I'm sure there's a lot of people that weren't happy with immigration policies and local fiscal. I'm sure there was a lot of political discontent. But what was the focus of the church? What was the focus of the ministry? The focus was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? So Paul and the New Testament writers and the Holy Spirit, they never preached politics. Did you hear that? Did you hear that? Did you let that sink in? The New Testament writers and the Holy Spirit never preached politics. What did they tell the church to do? To pray. To pray. Now, I hope that those that are God-fearing men and women are maybe lifted up by the Lord to be put in positions of authority. And as we will consider later, there are certain principles that are scriptural principles, and our desire should be for people to be elected that will uphold and represent the biblical principles that we find in Scripture, right? But our prayer should not be for there to be the advancement of the conservative political agenda. Our prayer should not be for the advancement of a Republican wave. Our prayer should be that God puts God-fearing men that are going to uphold the Word of God in positions of authority and leadership. For what purpose? Not that we can win the battle. Not that we can win the political battle. Why? The ultimate reason that we pray for government is so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Okay? Now, the Apostle Paul prayed for the advancement of the kingdom of God, right? He prayed, Lord, open doors. And he also prayed, Lord, deliver me from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. Now, they were unreasonable. They couldn't be reasoned with, right? You couldn't talk to them because they were cut to the heart many times and just filled with vitriol. You couldn't reason with them. Unreasonable and wicked men. So what is going to happen if the government does not, the law and order, sword of government, if that does not protect Paul from physical violence, then he's in great danger, right? You know, there are people that wanted to physically hurt Paul, but there's a lot of people that didn't do that because of the laws of the land. So Paul said, deliver me from unreasonable, and there's different ways they could be delivered, but one of the ways in which they were delivered from unreasonable wicked men is through the protection of law enforcement of government, right? Now, what's Paul saying there? He's saying that my desire is for the advancement of the kingdom of God. My desire is for the church to grow and that the ministry would be able to preach the gospel with no limitations. And I see some people that hate me. You know, there were some men that made a covenant with themselves that we're not going to eat or drink until Paul is dead. Okay? Now, they ended up failing in that. They failed in their vow. But listen, they made a covenant that we're not going to eat or drink until he is dead. We're going to choose to break the law of the land because we hate him so much. Well, I'll tell you who you need to have confidence in. If there's people that hate you enough that want to kill you, You need to pray for your government leaders to uphold law and order to where that person who wants to kill me is afraid enough of going to jail that they will be hindered in doing that. Okay? Now, why do we pray for this? So that the government will leave us alone, and so that the wicked will leave us alone, so that we can just love one another and fellowship and love our families and attend church and lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Why do we pray for those in positions of governmental leadership? So that they would execute what the God-ordained purpose of government is to protect us from the wicked, to protect us from unreasonable and wicked men that desire to hurt us and injure us. Why? So that we can just love our families. So we can just go to church. So we can just follow the pattern of Scripture with no hindrance from either the government or from the wicked, okay? And this leads right into what we find in verse 3 here in 1 Timothy 2. We pray to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. God desires for all of God's children to receive the deliverance and the power of the gospel and the kingdom, to be baptized and to come up out of that water with the answer of a good conscience and feel the power of their salvation and be saved from this untoward generation. Right. Well, by the way, what else saves you from this untoward generation? This sword of government saves you from this untoward generation as well, right? But listen, God desires for children of God to come to repentance and be baptized and receive all of these blessings in the kingdom of God. We pray for government to protect us from the wicked so that the kingdom will grow. I'll tell you, we pray for government, but listen, what do we pray before we pray for government? We pray for thy kingdom come, right? We pray after the model prayer. We pray for God to be exalted. Hallowed be thy name. And what do we do in prayer as soon as we get done praising God? We immediately pray, thy kingdom come. And how is God's kingdom going to come? How is God's kingdom going to be advanced? How are more children of God going to be feel the power and deliverance in the gospel and coming to the knowledge of the truth? How are more people going to be baptized? How are more people going to be pressing into the kingdom? How? Because there are no limitations, physical limitations or governmental limitations in the ministers of the gospel following the leadership of the Holy Spirit, pressing into effectual and open doors for more people to be baptized and hear the gospel of their salvation and to come to the knowledge of the truth, right? So what do we pray for? We pray for the kingdom to come. Well, if the kingdom's going to come, the government's got to protect us from the wicked and not persecute us, right? So therefore, exercise your legal rights. But listen, pray for the government that God would protect us from the wickedness of man, whether it be in the wickedness of man of corruption of government, whether it be in the wickedness of man of our enemies, of the church. Why? So that the kingdom would grow. The church would grow. That God's children would feel the power and deliverance and salvation and the knowledge of the truth in the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, our responsibility to pray for our leaders is not contingent on the moral integrity of those leaders. Who was the Caesar during the time that Paul gave this admonition? It was Nero. Nero was a heinously wicked man who persecuted Christians. But God's telling them, Paul's telling them through the Holy Spirit, that you pray for this wicked man, Nero. And we know that God can strike him dead. You know, not only can God depose people, God can strike people dead. He did that with Herod. Herod didn't give God the glory and he ate him up with worms. You know, he struck Sennacherib dead for defying the armies of the living God. God can strike Nero dead if he wanted to, okay? So the moral integrity of the man is not the barometer of if we pray for him or not. No, we have a responsibility to pray for all those that are in authority, even if they're to the level of the moral ungodliness of Nero. Why? Lord, please move their heart to just protect us from the wicked and tender their heart, even if they're not a child of God, tender their heart to not persecute the church, okay? Why? For what purpose? That the kingdom would grow, that the kingdom would be advanced. We've already mentioned this, but we'll read the full passage for you, 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course, no limitations. And what's going to be one of the major limitations? that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. It's going to be a tremendous limitation to the free course spread of the gospel for the wicked men to think that they can hurt the Apostle Paul and get away with it, right? No, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Protect us from the wicked, and know, Lord, that you have the control of the heart of the king, the control of the decisions of government, and not only can you depose the wicked, you can strike them dead if you want. So then, we need to pray for God-fearing men and women to be in positions of authority. Look at all these verses that describe if government is reliable, if government has integrity, the people are going to have a lot better life. But if the government is corrupt and wicked, people are going to have a lot of problems. Proverbs 29 and verse 2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 28, verse 12, when righteous men do rejoice, there's great glory. But the wicked rise, a man is hidden as a roaring lion and a raging bear. So is a wicked ruler over poor people. We need to pray that God puts up moral men, godly men, God-fearing men, and not wicked rulers. Proverbs 14, 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And then Psalm 33 and verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. So we need to pray for godly leaders. Why? Because when the wicked get in control, when the wicked corrupt the institution of government that God has ordained, they've got a lot of unchecked authority that can be tremendously damaging, especially if they are using that to attack God's people. Okay? And we want to read these verses for you. We've already read them for you before, but these are some of the core texts in this discussion, so we'll read them for you again. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13, submit yourselves, therefore, to every ordinance of man for the king's sake, whether it be to the king or supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God. It's the will of God that you submit to these authorities. It's the will of God that you pray for them, so that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. Make sure we always get that right, that correct order. First of all, we fear God. But in fearing God, we also honor the king. We fear God by honoring the institutions of government that he has ordained. And then Romans 13, verses 6 and 7, for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are the ministers of God, attending continually upon this very thing. Therefore render to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. So we want to show honor. We want to show honor to those in positions of leadership. We want to exercise our legal rights to the best of our ability, but we also want to conduct ourselves in an honorable, Christ-glorifying way, and not to do anything that is detrimental to the witness of the church in our local community or abroad. So pray. I hope that this is on your personal prayer list that you go over every day. And if it's not, you need to add it. Pray for your leaders at the federal, state, and the local level. Get involved to the best of your ability in all of those, especially at the local level, as you have ability and opportunity. Understanding that God's in control. God changes the hearts of governmental leaders. He opens doors. He deposes leaders. He's in control of all this. Pray for these leaders. Why? So that the kingdom would be advanced. Lord, please protect us from those that would do us harm. Give men and women of integrity in offices of leadership to protect us from the wicked, so that there is no hindrances to the free course spread of the gospel through effectual and open doors. We pray the Lord will richly bless you today, and we pray that kingdom would come. Amen. We pray that God would open doors and there would be no limitations for God's ministers and for the church pressing through those doors by the hindrances of the wicked or by the corruption or the persecution of government. May God bless you on this Lord's Day. Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall this praise begin? Taking away my burdens, setting my spirit free, for the wonder.
If you enjoy the messages you hear on the Gospel of Grace radio broadcast, we invite you to visit a Primitive Baptist church in your area. Visit our website at gospel-of-grace.com to search for a Primitive Baptist church near you, to listen to past messages online, and to find additional contact information. This program is also available on iTunes under podcasts with the title, The Gospel of Grace, a Primitive Baptist radio broadcast. If you enjoy our program, send us an email at gospelofgracepb@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you. This program is produced by Sulphur Springs Primitive Baptist Church, 40283 Wolf Road, Caledonia, Mississippi, and Macedonia Primitive Baptist Church, 11 Staten Road on Highway 15, just north of Ackerman, Mississippi. Come and worship with us each Sunday morning at 10:30 and tune in next week for another message from the Gospel of Grace. Until next time, we pray that God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus, our Lord.